our private army.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Congress comes out with a report today on private contractors in Iraq. Reportedly, the study finds that one out of every $5 spent on the war is going to a private company. Firms that provide drivers, bodyguards, construction workers. There are at least 180,000 of these employees in Iraq, more than the number of U.S. troops. This is the first war that's relied so heavily on contractors, and some people say it's leading to overbilling, fraud, and shoddy work. Another study out this morning from the Government Accountability Office looks at corporations and taxes, as in how they avoid paying their taxes. Elisa Roth has more on that.
The study says both domestic and foreign companies doing business here are guilty. There are a lot of ways they avoid paying taxes. They may report losses or claim tax credits. In some cases, they're able to divert income to divisions in countries with lower tax rates. By one account, as many as two-thirds of companies didn't pay federal income taxes between 1998 and 2005. North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan doesn't care why the companies do it.
You know, you've got companies that have $2.5 trillion in gross sales in America and pay no federal income taxes. That's pretty unbelievable.
He says it's just not fair.
They ought to bear some share of the responsibility to pay for the cost of government.
The GAO report doesn't offer any real solutions, but Dorgan thinks the entire tax code needs to be overhauled to plug the loopholes. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The good news and the bad will do battle today on Wall Street. The dollar made up more ground today, hitting a six-month high against the euro, almost a two-year high against the pound. Oil's at a three-month low. But BP says it has shut down that oil pipeline that runs through Georgia as a precaution, and there were more losses and write-downs from the banks, UBS and JP Morgan Chase. So far, the bad news is winning. The Dow is down 71 points to 11,711. The NASDAQ is down 7. The S&P 500 has dropped 5. Stocks are mostly lower overseas. In Asia, the markets lost about 1% by the close. European shares are down a fraction so far. Today, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston holds a seminar for people facing foreclosure. The Fed wants to make sure folks show up to this thing, so they called upon one of New England's most beloved franchises. Kurt Nickisch reports from WBUR.
The home field of the New England Patriots may see the most frustrated people since Tom Brady threw an interception in the AFC Championship game in January. Boston Fed spokesman Tom Lavelle says the foreclosure prevention workshop will be held in a skybox that only privileged ticket holders see during NFL games.
We're hopeful that it may draw out the isolated borrower, someone that's feeling alone, feeling anxious and confused by these challenging times.
Struggling homeowners can meet with 100 loan officers and nonprofit advisors. Lavelle says it's so much easier than cutting through all the red tape over the phone.
Usually it's competition that brings out the best. On this occasion, the best is coming together and reaching out to our fellow citizens in need.
Tackled for a loss, red zone, goal line stand. Lavelle says he's heard plenty of bad football analogies. He doesn't care as long as people who may be able to stay in their homes find out how. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com.
Today isn't just the 12th of August. In Britain, it's the glorious 12th, the start of the red grouse hunting season. I doubt the birds think it's so glorious, but a lot of people do. I'm joined by our man in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen, you were telling me how big a deal this is. Why?
It is really one of the most important days in the social calendar of Britain's landed aristocracy, and increasingly the newly rich from Britain's financial district. It's a very important day as well for England's rural economy.
And why is that? What is the economic impact?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, this hunting grouse and also pheasant and partridge and other field birds injects something like $3 billion into the British economy, supports something like 70,000 jobs, and also helps pay for the upkeep of two-thirds of the British countryside. So it is a very big deal indeed.
How much does it cost to shoot a grouse?
Too much for us, I fear. I mean, generally what happens, you pay a flat fee, and then at the end of the day, they count up the number of birds you've shot, and you get charged per bird. $200 for every pair, $100 for each bird you shoot. If you're talking about a hunting party of, say, 20 hunters, they could easily spend $60,000 today alone. So this is for people with a great deal of money. And increasingly on the grouse moors of Scotland and the north of England, we have seen Russian oligarchs and Indian tycoons and Arab billionaires.
Are there limits to the number of grouse people can shoot?
Not formally. However, there is a kind of curious etiquette at work here. If a shooting party kills more than 500 birds, this is considered carnage and not sport. Generally, it's felt that a party of 20 hunters should not really shoot many more than, say, 300 birds maximum. And that is considered sufficient to keep down the grouse population and also to bring a pretty good income into the owners of these grouse moors.
But I imagine that there are a lot of people in Britain who think shooting any grouse out of the sky isn't in good taste.
No, absolutely. The animal welfare lobby targets the glorious 12th every year. I mean, it is a red letter day for animal rights campaigners, and they often turn up in considerable numbers to try to sabotage the hunts. But grouse moors are very large places, and usually it's pretty easy for the hunters to elude the animal welfare campaigners.
Well, it sounds like quite an event. Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.